What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylynn Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Mylynn Riobé, and we are live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And today's topic is how to avoid holiday weight gain, the wellness warrior way, or the awakened wellness way. So this is always a hot button topic for a lot of my clients. Even here in New York, it seems like it's just everywhere. Everybody is trying to keep their weight stable, trying to lose weight. I've even had some people abnormally lose weight, trying to gain it back, right? And so it seems like weight stability is an issue. And people are always asking themselves, why, right? And it's, I was at the hairdresser the other day, and we were having a conversation about how people that have straight hair want curly hair, people that have curly hair want straight hair, and back and forth and up and down, right? And so the same seems to be for weight. Although during the holiday season, it appears to be that people are always looking for hacks and ways to prevent that weight gain from coming, right? So we have this kind of love-hate relationship with the holidays. Like, it's a great time of year, it's fun, but the food that comes with it, the kind of derailment of our normal activities that come with the holidays, sometimes can lead to some difficulties at the new year, right? So wanted to talk about going into Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, like, what do we do? What do we do to manage our weight and still have a really good time during the holidays, which is what they're meant for, right? It's a time for family, it's a time for friends, it's a time for traditions, it's a time for reflection. It's a time for planning. What are we going to do this coming year? What are we going to do to improve our way of life, to improve on what we've built? And so doing that in a way that is also healthy is going to be important. And so I wanted to first talk about the myth of holiday weight gain, right? So there's some myths around the idea that we gained a lot of weight during the holidays, which actually isn't true. And I think I've touched on this in a couple other podcasts. We don't really gain that much weight over the holidays. We do gain, however, inflammation. and so over time, the small amount of weight that we gain each year and the more significant amount of inflammation that we gain each year ends up being a 10, 20, 30, or sometimes 40 and 50 pound weight gain over several years, right? So studies have shown that we only gain about a pound over the holidays. And the rest of the weight that comes is all inflammatory, it's water. We call it dirty water, right? To distinguish it from our regular water, right? So our bodies are 70% by weight water and 99% by molecule water. So we're basically made of water. And so we have categories for that water, right? So that 99% is normal. We're supposed to be 99% water. But then if there's inflammation involved, that becomes, we'll call it dirty water just to distinguish it. But that becomes inflammatory water, dirty water. So we can turn the clean water into dirty water, right? So we can kind of transform our normal water metabolism into inflammatory water metabolism. And then we can also gain more water. So if we eat things that are inflammatory, like high sugar, that have high sugar content, or that are processed, or that perhaps contain a lot of pesticides and toxins, then we can gain water. So beyond that, 70% by weight, we can add on more water in the form of inflammation. And that's what people mistake for weight gain over the holidays. You have to eat a ton to gain actual fat. So in order to gain a pound of fat on your body, you have to eat an excess of 3,500 calories on average. Turn off my computer. So that's a lot of food, right? 3,500 calories is about 2 to 3 days worth of food, right? Extra over and on top of the regular day's worth of food. And so it's kind of hard to gain weight. So what's happening? Why is it that people actually gain weight over time? And that is because the dirty water, the inflammation, the toxins that come along with what produces the inflammation erodes our metabolism. Right. So it's not so much a calorie in, calorie out situation as it is the quality of the food and also when we eat, which we'll talk about today, determines what happens with your metabolism. So weight gain is really all about maintaining your metabolism almost more than what you're actually eating. So there's a way that if you can rev up your metabolism enough, it kind of doesn't matter what you eat over the holidays. You can just go off the rails and have fun. As long as your metabolism is high, you will burn out. Now, will it come back and get you later? Maybe, right? So if you're eating a lot of processed food, if you are, eating out a lot in places where they're not selective about the sources of their food, right? So it's not organic meat. It's not organic baked goods, it's not gluten-free if you're gluten intolerant, right? You're going to pay for that later in the form of inflammation. And it's the inflammation that slowly erodes our metabolism. And it's the toxins again. So the inflammation is the byproduct of the toxic things that we ate. And so they both kind of create this perfect storm situation that leads to an erosion of metabolism. And so what is metabolism? Like, what does that even mean? So metabolism is essentially the way that you convert the food that you eat, the oxygen that you breathe, into usable energy. And then your body takes that usable energy and uses it as currency, so to speak. So everything that we do, everything that the body does for us, so me talking to you, you hearing me, you maybe getting up to get a glass of water, even sleeping requires energy, right? We have to detox and eliminate toxins from the body. That requires energy. Just doing this requires energy. Thinking requires energy. Everything that we do, seen and unseen, right? Our hearts beating over and over, our lungs breathing, in and out for us over and over requires a ton of energy. And so it's the food that we eat and the oxygen that we breathe that creates this magical stuff in the body that we call ATP or adenosine triphosphate. And that's like money, that's basically the currency of the body's cells that they use and to buy body function and to create body function. And so that's metabolism. The efficiency with which your body can absorb, digest and absorb your food, mix it with the oxygen, convert it to usable fuel, and then the body actually using that fuel to power everything that you do is metabolism. And so metabolism obviously heavily involves the gastrointestinal system, heavily involves the lungs, and involves actually every single cell. So your body is a very well-oiled, efficient machine. All the cells are working together perfectly in order to exchange energy and to do the things that they do and to do it as a community, which we call the human body. And that's how we maintain our health. But if within the cells, there are things that would prevent that usable energy from coming together, then we start to see a reduction of metabolism. So what does that mean? It means that your body can't as easily convert that food that you ate plus the oxygen that you breathed into usable currency, or it can't use the currency. Something's wrong at the marketplace where it would go to buy and trade for body function. Something's wrong there. Or something's wrong with the systems that would provide and print the money, you know, provide the energy itself. And so these are the points at which metabolism can start to break down. So what breaks metabolism down, right? It could be as simple as the choices that we make when we eat. So if we decide that, you know, we're not going to eat well, you know, we decide that we're going to eat foods that we know or may not know are bad for us. Processed foods, foods that are, laden with pesticides, non-organic meat products, things like that. The toxins that come with that food are going to break down the systems that would make that currency. And then on top of that, inside your cells would get all gunky with toxins and junk. And so it wouldn't be able to exchange that currency for body function. And so what happens is ultimately your body can't make as much money. So it can't spend as much money in order for you to have the body functions that you need. And that's what we call a dropping of metabolism. So in other words, it's not able to burn as many calories. Right. So let's say, you know, if you have a really well-oiled machine and let's say an elite athlete, right, they can burn 2,000-3,000 calories a day easily to power their sport, to power, you know, their basic body functions and on top of their sports, right? Lifting weights, preparing, playing games, recovering, all those things, 2,000-3,000 calories a day, right? Now, if something were to happen, whether it be, God forbid, an injury, or they'd stop playing sports and they weren't paying attention to how they were eating, their metabolism would drop, and they wouldn't burn as many calories. And so then they could potentially start to gain weight. And that would happen to anyone. So for the average person, let's say you can burn 12 to 1500 calories at your peak, but then things happen, right? You may have gotten sick, you may have lost a job, stress, changed the way that you eat, you don't eat as efficiently, you don't eat as healthy, and then suddenly you start burning fewer calories. And so maybe now you can only burn 800 calories, for example. And so that means you'd have to eat 800 calories a day not to gain weight. And so it's hard to do, right? It's really hard to eat only 800 calories a day, but it's not that hard for your metabolism to break so that you can only burn 800 calories a day. And so inevitably, if you're consuming 1200 calories, but you can only burn, let's say 800, right? You have an excess of 400 calories a day that you're not burning. You're not doing something with, you're not exchanging it for body function. And so your body has to store that eventually as fat. But even that, it's only 400 calories, right? It's not 3,500 calories, which would equal a pound of fat. It's only 400 calories, which equals a fraction of a pound. But you can see that if you do that over an extended period of time, yes, you can gain weight over time and be 20, 30 or more pounds overweight. And so typically, the solution for people is to do some fad diet, right? Intermittent fasting. Now we have, you know, shots, semaglutide, Ozempic, diabetes drugs that we're using for rapid weight loss. Before it used to be HCG and other diet pills that were proven to be quite toxic. Or we just fast, right? The problem with that is it doesn't boost your metabolism, it simply drops the number of calories you're eating. The problem with that is you can't do that for long. You can't get shots to lose weight forever, right? At some point, you have to stop it. At some point, you have to stop the fasting. You have to stop the fad dieting. And now what happens is because you forced your body to lose the weight, it wasn't a natural weight loss. Now you've actually broken your metabolism even more. And so when we force the body to do something, as opposed to helping it to do something that it would naturally do better, when we force it to do something, it breaks even more. And that's what we haven't quite understood as a society yet, when we come up with these new crazy diet shots, weight loss shots and things like that, is, again, we're trying to force the body to do something that it's not supposed to do. So we're already seeing that people are just gaining the weight back as soon as they stop the shots. You know, they're gaining their weight back as soon as they stop the fasting, because it was an unnatural way to lose weight. A more natural way to lose weight is to rev up your metabolism naturally, not with caffeine, not with, ephedrine and things like that that we used to do years ago until we realized it was so dangerous, it was actually killing people. That's an artificial way to rev metabolism. So that's not recommended, but what is recommended is that you eat properly. And, you know, I'm a huge proponent of strength training for weight loss. I think it is probably the most effective way to lose weight, is to build muscle mass, because we're supposed to have muscle mass, right? So we've lost a lot of our muscle mass as a species, because we're much more sedentary now than we ever used to be. And so we don't have a lot of muscle on our frame. Muscle is our biggest metabolic engine. So the more muscle mass you have, the more calories you naturally burn. And in fact, you burn calories even while you sleep when you have muscle mass. And so strength training is really one of the biggest secrets and the most efficient and effective ways to lose weight and keep it up. Right. So the losing weight part isn't the problem, right? We have all kinds of crazy schemes and hacks that we use to force the body to lose the weight. It's the keeping the weight off part that we haven't solved, right? All of the fad diets that we do, whether they be diet drug injections, weight loss drinks, fasting, they actually cause us to lose muscle mass. And that's why we gain the weight back. It's actually really that simple. It's simply that we lost muscle mass doing that thing. If we have too much stress on the body, it will, cannibalize itself. It will eat your muscles instead of growing your muscles. So when your body's super stressed out, especially if you're not eating enough. So let's say you're doing an 800-900 calorie a day diet, or you're fasting and you're just not eating enough calories. Your body has to get energy from somewhere to perform its basic functions, right? The functions that it considers to be the most important, has to do them anyway. The first place it goes to get that energy, if you're not eating it, is your muscles. It's very easy for your body to break muscle down. It's a lot harder for it to break fat down. So in order for it to break fat down, it has to burn 9 calories. In order to break muscle down, it only has to burn 4 calories. And your body's really smart. It does that math. And it knows, oh, I only need to spend $4 to get the same amount of muscle as I would need to spend $9 to get as fat in terms of nutrition. And so it will always go for your muscles first. Then if it has to go get the fat, it'll go get the fat. But it knows that it has to spend more money to get the fat. And so it will not want to burn fat for fuel. It will always want to burn muscle for fuel. And that's what we haven't quite understood yet as a society, is that every diet fad that we do, every medication, everything we've done causes the body to blow through muscle. It causes the body to break down muscle and bones to get its fuel. It also has to burn fat because we're forcing it to do both. But the problem is that part of doing both is you're eating up your own muscles, which means your metabolism's dropped. So your weight is going to drop and you're going to lose fat, but you're losing muscle mass at the same time, almost at a rate of 50-50. And when that happens, you're dropping your metabolism as you're losing the fat, which means you're going to have to eat even less to maintain that weight. And this is why all of these fat diets backfire. So when it comes to the holidays, right, what do? If we're not lifting weights yet, if we're not at the gym, if we're not really into these things, the number one thing I would say is start, right? Start. Don't wait till January 1 when the gyms have all their, discounts and free months and their advertisements in your face every time you turn on the TV or open up your social media. Go now, right? And I always tell people, get a trainer. Always get a trainer. If you're working out with a trainer with the emphasis of building muscle mass, right? So that's what you have to let your trainer know is, I want to build muscle mass. And you want to look for a trainer that looks like they know how to build muscle mass, right? Now, you don't need to go for those, one of those muscle bound guys that does, these huge competitions and all, but you want to find someone who looks really fit, who has a good bit of muscle tone. That's your trainer, right? Because if they can do it for themselves, they can do it for you, especially if they are a trainer, because they've learned how to impart that information to other people, right? Through their training certification. And they walk their talk, right? Don't go to a trainer that you see smoking in the back behind the gym and, eating at McDonald's or Taco Bell, after the gym. Make sure that you know that your trainer looks the way that you want to look, right? So if you're trying to lose, say, 20 pounds or prevent weight gain at all, look for a trainer that looks like they already know how to do that. Male or female, doesn't matter. But make sure that you're matching up your trainer to how you want to look. And again, it's not about vanity, but it is about health, right? The outside of you is an image, a mirror of the inside of you as well. And so it's not just about vanity and looking good. It's actually about literally the outside of me tells me what the inside of me looks like without me being able to see it, right? And so you want to make sure that, you are of a semi-normal weight, right? You don't have to be picture perfect weight. That's not what we're looking for here. But what we're looking for is good health. We're looking for excellent metabolism. When you have a really good metabolism, it's really hard to get sick. It's really hard to gain weight. You kind of weight-proof yourself when you have a healthy metabolism. And there's just no other way to do it than by having proper muscle mass, proper bone structure. And that involves proper eating, right? So we're going to take our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to weight-proof yourself for the holidays. So I'm Dr. Milan Rayode. You're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awaken to Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Rayone, and today we're talking about preventing holiday weight gain. And so we have some great questions here. I would worry about getting too many muscles, shakes off men. Already, I worry about being seen as being too smart, too independent. It's hard trying to fit into established gender roles. Okay, so I'm going to assume that you're female, because you didn't specify here, but it's almost impossible for women to look too muscular. We just don't have enough testosterone in our bodies. So we would have to literally take testosterone in from the outside, whether they be by injection or by testosterone creams and other testosterone analogs, for example. But you don't have to worry about bulking up too much. It's pretty much impossible as a biological female without taking in extra things that would make that happen, so to speak. The only thing I would say is make sure that you power and fuel your workout and the recovery, right? So segueing into nutrition now, depending on when you want to work out, right? The best times to work out are when you have more energy. And so that would be when you wake up in the morning, so mid-morning. If you can't because of work schedules and other commitments, midday. And if you still can't do that, then right after your work day. Working out just before sleep, you're kind of at your lowest point in terms of energy. And so you may be a little more prone to injuries and things like that. You may not get the maximum benefit out of your workout if you're working out too late or after you've been up for a really long time. But if that's the only time you have, then do it. Just be mindful not to push yourself too hard so that you don't get injured. Anytime you're going to start any type of exercise program, make sure you get cleared by your physician first. Make sure that you warm up, you stretch. You have a trainer that is certified and who knows how to help you to do those things, and that you can emphasize that you want to continue gain muscle mass. Sorry. I'm getting used to trying to get used to the New York heat in the building. All the windows are up, and yet it's still too hot, which will be nice in February, but not right now. So So yes, you have to fuel your exercise, right? And so how do you fuel muscles? So muscles actually do require carbohydrates, right, to fuel them and to grow them. And they require protein to grow them because they are protein. So muscles are proteins. And again, this is one of the reasons I'm a huge protein fan is because I'm also a huge strength training fan. I really think it's probably the most anti-aging exercise that you can do. Whether it's Pilates, you know, some type of resistance training, strength training, but it has to be with the emphasis of growing muscle. So it can't be like super lightweight with a lot of repetition. It has to really be a strength training activity. And so it's important to have enough protein and carbs, both before and after your activity, your workout. And so a nutritionist would be very helpful. Most trainers can give you a really good diet to fuel that muscle growth, right? It almost always requires some protein supplements in the form of shakes. Make sure you're taking a really good multivitamin, a good fish oil, tons of water, right? And you want to make sure that you're eating properly to fuel that exercise. So if you're working out in the morning, you got to have a carb and a protein about 45 minutes before you work out. And then another, you know, 3 hours later, you're eating again, preferably with a carb and a protein. Best carbs, in my opinion, are root vegetables. They metabolize a lot better than other types of carbohydrates. But you can also have grains. That's not a problem. Fruits, you know, don't metabolize as well as root vegetables and grains, but you could have those, although they're not, most bodybuilders will tell you to stay away from fruit. And then if you're less active later on in the day, you take the carb away. You don't have to eat the carb. And then remember, you have to have a ton of veggies the whole time, right? So although I'm saying protein and carb, you have to have the leafy veggies in every meal. So it's the carbs that you play with. It's the carbs that you either put on your plate or take off your plate, depending on, you know, when you're going to be active, the most active. So if you're not working out at night and you're just going to be kind of sitting around, maybe at your computer or watching TV or hanging out with family, then you don't eat the carbs at night, right? You have a protein and your veggies. And you have the carbs earlier in the day with your protein and veggies, right? So three meals and then maybe a couple of protein shakes in between. If you do that, you won't be hungry for other things, right? And also you'll be revving up your metabolism so that if you have that other thing, right? Somebody brought that thing to the office, that cake, those pastries, all the crazy holiday chocolate, the cookies, you know, you're not gonna eat as much of that. You're not going to be as hungry. And then also if you do want to have some of it, you're not going to gain the weight, right? Because you're cranking up your metabolism through your nutrition and through your workouts. And when you eat sufficient amounts of protein, you're just not that hungry. So you're not going to overeat that other stuff, but you have to eat enough. You have to have those three meals and the two protein shakes or protein-based snacks in between meals so that you're not too hungry later. And then, you know, we all know that later is like doomsday for all of us, right? So if we haven't eaten properly earlier in the day, all the cravings come at night, right? And it's really hard to outwill a craving. So you have to eat earlier in the day so that you thwart the cravings when they come later, right? Because it's a lot harder to say, oh, I'm just gonna have a protein shake now that I'm hungry and have these cravings, than to say, I'm gonna have that piece of cake or those chips. You know, it's just the willpower is not there later in the day. You've been up all day, you're more tired, and you're hungry because you haven't eaten enough. So it's really important to eat enough. I can't stress that anymore. It's super important to have full meals. And then you take the carbs away later when you're not as active, right? Now, if you're working out at night because you work during the day and there's no other way around it, you should have that carb before and after, along with your protein and vegetables, so that you're surrounding your exercise with full meals.
They don't have to be super heavy, right? These are light meals. They're probably not more than a total of 200 calories each meal. But you have to fuel your exercise so that you can actually grow muscles. The other piece of that is sleep, right? We actually grow the muscles as we sleep. So we stress the muscles out at the gym during the day, but then we actually grow them at night. And so making sure you get enough sleep is super important for growing muscle and maintaining muscle. Again, I'm not suggesting that we all need to be muscle bound and, you know, look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. Like that's not what I'm suggesting, but just to look fit, just to have enough muscle mass so that your metabolic engine is cranking on all cylinders. It's very anti-aging. It's also a really good way to prevent disease, because if your body is able to efficiently make and use energy, it's going to also efficiently detox you. It's going to efficiently power you. It's going to efficiently give you enough energy to feel like doing the things you need to do. You know, you're going to have better body function, just period. You know, and so it's not just, again, we want to look good. It's we want to feel good, and they both go together. As long as you're eating clean, right? So we've got a couple other questions here. Any tips for getting back to my former self? I hurt my back a while back and I become fat and have a backache just walking the dog. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So a couple things, right? Make sure that you've seen a physician. Make sure that there isn't structural damage to your back. So make sure that there's some type of radiological imaging to your back, whether it's an MRI or an X-ray. But see a physician to make sure that you have the proper evaluation. And then physical therapy would be another thing. A chiropractor may help quite a bit to help realign your spine and to complement what the physical therapist is doing with aligning the spine and helping you stretch. Making sure that you stretch and warm up every day. And then acupuncture may be another modality that can help quite a bit. Acupuncture helps to restore proper blood flow to the area that may have been injured. So everything is with an emphasis on restoring proper blood flow, regenerating the back. And then with your physical therapy, they'll probably have you doing some type of stretching and strength training. And then as long as you're cleared, do some type of weight training for core, whether it be Pilates, you know, or strength training, resistance bands, but again, with a trainer so that you don't risk injuring yourself. Strengthening your core strengthens your back. A lot of back pain is inflammation, right? Potentially injuries, bad postures, and other things. So always make sure that you have proper posture. If you sit at a desk a lot, make sure it's ergonomically set up. In other words, make sure it's set up in a way that's not putting additional tension on your joints and your muscles. You know, you can probably look that up on Google now. There's so much information about making sure that your desk is the right height, everything, your chair. That's a really important thing for back. And then strength training. You know, a lot of it is muscle weakness. It's just losing core muscularity from being too sedentary. And so just very slowly gaining core strength, right? And so now your muscles in the back are stronger and they're it's not going to hurt as much, but you have to do that with a lot of care. Make sure you warm up, make sure you stretch, make sure you're not overdoing it, make sure that you are resting sufficiently. Another thing that might help is an infrared sauna. That's another thought. But if you are of a hot dynamic metabolic type, again, we go over this in our online course, the Wellness Warrior 9-Week Transformation Program. This is the way that you would know like what would best suit me. So if you have a hot dynamic metabolic type, whether it's deficient or excessive, or you want to make sure that you're not using anything that's hot as a modality. And maybe a heating pad if you're not a hot dynamic metabolic type. So those are some thoughts that I have. Hope that helps you and hope you feel better soon. It's getting harder to recover from a night out. Any tips for enjoying a night out or holiday office party without suffering the next morning? Yeah, so hydration is a huge one, and everything we just talked about, right? So again, you can go out and have a great time as long as you have, prepped the body to be able to do that, right? So as long as you ate well earlier in the day, right? You want to make sure you get enough sleep. So women need bare minimum 8 hours. Men need bare minimum 7. And so get enough sleep, eat right, eat properly, eat often, right? That's the secret, is people think that I need to eat less if I'm going out tonight, right? Because I'm going to want to just go crazy. You have to actually eat more, but you have to eat, healthier foods earlier in the day. So you have to have that healthy protein, tons of green leafy veggies. And, if you want to skip the carbs because you're going to want to go eat, whatever's at the party, skip the carbs all day, right? So have your protein, have your veggies, but you have to eat often. So you might be eating every 2.5 to 3 hours all day, like grazing, not eating more calories, but spreading them out. And then when you get to the party, you can eat, you can do what you want. You won't really be that hungry because you fueled your body all day. You're not going to be that hungry. So it's in my opinion, a mistake to say, I'm not going to eat all day so I can eat all night. You have to actually eat all day, so that you can still eat all night, but you'll eat less and you'll feel better in the morning. And then a ton of water, tons and tons of water. And if, alcohol is going to be on the menu for the evening, you might want to get some things that help speed up detoxification. We detox at night, so that's why it's so important to get enough sleep and not to eat a really heavy meal at night. Because then you bog down all your detoxification systems and then you feel lousy in the morning because you have all this inflammation, right? So maybe doing some things like milk thistle or some things that have a lot of antioxidants, whether green tea, matcha, DIM, indole-3-carbinol, I3C, things that help the liver to detox, a little bit of glutathione, liposomal glutathione might be something useful, so that you kind of rev up your detoxification systems before you go to sleep. And so you kind of give them a little gentle shove, so that it gets rid of all that inflammation that the holiday party introduced. But if you have eaten well all day, you slept well, you did your workout, your body's going to be a lot more efficient at getting rid of the junk that you ate, right? So you can still have fun and eat all the holiday stuff that we love to eat, but your body will be much better equipped to deal with it and eliminate it than if you go in a weakened state, so to speak, not having eaten, not having slept well, not having worked out, that type of thing. So I hope that helps. I think we need another commercial break. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Rayove. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edesia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edesia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edesia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit edesiaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Ryobe, and got some other great questions here. Do you have your own supplement company, or are you considering working with one? I would trust your supplements. It's so interesting that you bring that up, because I got a call at the office just about a week ago from someone that I had met over a year ago at an event who has partnered with a supplement, or started a supplement company with someone that she partnered with, and they've asked me to sit on their board, or they're considering me, I should say, to sit on their board. And so they seem to have a pretty good product from my preliminary review. And so we're going to be investigating a little bit more, and I might be sitting on their board and contributing to how they make their supplements. But yeah, maybe we'll see, right? So thank you. I do appreciate that trust. And then the next question, some people suggest eating too often keeps the tummy from healing. Your thoughts? So for me, it's when you eat at the wrong times that you prevent your tummy from healing. So it's not so much that we're eating too much, or too often, I should say, it's that we're eating at the wrong times. And again, this is why I do not like intermittent fasting, because it literally makes you eat at the wrong time. And so if we look at the Chinese circadian clock, and one of the reasons I'm actually excited to work with the supplement company is they also use Chinese medicine principles in the formulation of their supplements. And I told them, I said, everything I do has to pass the Chinese medicine sniff test, because they are just never wrong. You know, whatever comes and goes in our modern scientific era, Chinese medicine never changes, right? One of the biggest examples was the pandemic. We didn't have to change Chinese medicine to work with the pandemic, right? We just applied Chinese medicine to the bug to work with it, right? To eradicate it with Chinese medicine, Chinese herbs and things like that. And so this medicine is so solid, right? And they teach us that energy flows through the stomach at its peak between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. And so if you're doing intermittent fasting and you're not eating until 12, 1 or 2, you missed the boat, you know, and now you're eating at all the wrong times. And so the idea that, oh, we're going to fast for 16 hours at the wrong times and then eat for 8 and heal our stomach, heal our gut, is completely unfounded. Now, you might have a sense that that's working for you because you're draining yourself out. So if you did have a lot of inflammation when you started fasting, for example, you're going to get rid of that inflammation because you're forcing the body to do so because you're draining it out. But remember, you're draining out the good and the bad. And so when you're done with the fasting, the good is going to be even lower than it was when you started. And so this is why intermittent fasting comes back to get people later. So it's not so much that we're eating too often as it is that we're eating at the wrong time. So in Chinese medicine, they say eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, dinner like a pauper, right? And so what that does is that sets us up to eat the most when our digestive system is at its peak and functioning at its peak, that, you know, blood is flowing there at its peak. That's when we should be eating a fairly heavy meal, right? And then other meals throughout the day, with them getting lighter and lighter and lighter, which is why I suggested we take the carbs out later in the day, unless you're going to the gym, then you can't, you have to fuel that. But you eat more early and then you eat less later, right? And now you're following the Chinese circadian clock for food intake. It's when we eat too late that we bog the detoxification system, right? So the detoxification system is what's going to clean and heal the gut. So if we're eating too late in the day and we're having very heavy meals late in the day, we have now bogged the detoxification system because we ate at the wrong time. And then now we kind of impeded on the detoxification system's time. And we're asking the body to deal with digesting food instead of detoxing. And it can't do both really well. It has to pick one or the other. When it's got food in it, it has to deal with the digestion part, but it's not going to do it efficiently because it's doing it at a time when it's not supposed to, right? And then now you have delayed or impeded your detoxification system, and now you can't heal your gut because your detoxification system's not at its peak, right? And so it's not that we're eating too often. It's that we're eating at the wrong time. So I hope that helps to answer your question. But yeah, so we're supposed to be grazers. Like, that's not an unusual thing. Again, eating somewhere between 7 and 9 a.m. within about 30-ish to 45 minutes of waking, something should be hitting your stomach, right? And it should be warm because your stomach needs to be at 100 degrees to even function properly. Something nice and warm in the morning to prime your stomach, prime the pump, get all the digestive enzymes going, the acid going, everything that needs to be going, cranking, right? And have a nice meal there. Most people will say, I'm not hungry at that time, so I don't eat. Or I'm not hungry at that time, so I have something really light, right? The reason people aren't hungry is because their metabolism's too weak, right? Lack of hunger is a sign of low metabolism. We should be starving when we wake up because we haven't been eating for 8, 9, 10 hours, right? And so we should be hungry in the morning. If we're not, something's wrong with our metabolism. And so I tell people to kind of, in order to fix that, you almost have to force feed yourself in a way. A light protein shake, even if it's just a boiled egg, oatmeal and egg whites. So something just really light, to prime the pump, to get the body used to getting food at that time of the morning. And then you'll start to feel hungrier and hungrier, right? And people will say, but I don't want to eat that much, right? I don't want to rev up my appetite. You have to rev up your appetite because it's a sign that your metabolism's revving up. You just have to be prepared, right? You have to be ready to eat again in 3 hours, and have a good meal then, or even 2 hours. Sometimes you'll be that hungry, right? You'll have something light when you first wake up, and then you'll be ravenously hungry in 2 hours, and then eat, right? Have a healthy protein, ton of vegetables, and something carby, root vegetable or grains, and then be ready again to eat in 3 more hours, right? And again, these are light meals, so they're about a couple hundred calories. You're not eating like 500, 600, 700, 800 calories at a sitting. These are light meals, but they're every 3-ish hours. And you might backfill that with some protein shakes, right? So if you have 3 full meals for the day, you might have 2 protein shakes in between them.
right? And that's kind of how we're supposed to eat. You know, and that's how we maintain our healthiest metabolism, is by doing. And then you rest the stomach later when it's supposed to rest, right? So the Chinese circadian clock, you know, after lunch, we have a super light dinner at dinner, which is not going to bog down the detoxification systems all night long. And then we have that huge window of healing, of allowing the body to restore itself. We're you know, going down for the night, going to sleep. And then the body is able to restore itself at night. It restores itself at night. So remember, it takes about 2 to 3 hours to completely digest and absorb your food. So you have to eat dinner fairly early, and then maybe something super light if you get hungry after that, but not enough that you're bogging the detox systems down and they're not functioning while you're sleeping. So this is what I think is at the heart of why we're breaking our metabolism, why we feel like the gut's not healing. It's not going to heal if we're having a really heavy dinner and skipping breakfast. It's just not, it just goes against the biological rhythm of the body. And there's no way around that. You can't hack your way out of that. You have to flow with the rhythm of the body. Otherwise, it will come back and get you. Like, there's just no way around it. You know, so we're getting reports that intermittent fasting imbalances women's hormones, because it is eroding our metabolism, right? Now, again, that doesn't mean intermittent fasting doesn't benefit certain people. It can, but if you don't know your dynamic metabolic type, if you're not an excess dynamic metabolic type, intermittent fasting is not for you. You know, and so we go over this in our course, the Wellness Warrior 9-Week Transformation Program. So we have a free training going on right now. If you want to participate, I recommend you go to awakenedwellnessnow.com. If you'd like to book a call with me, I'd love to talk to you and see how we can help you. We are launching a live class on January 11th, 2024. So it's a course to beat burnout. But the way that you beat burnout is by helping to raise your metabolism. So we teach you all the tricks in a 9-week transformation program to know your dynamic metabolic type, to know what to do about it, and how to apply it to everything that you do every day so that you are optimizing your health, feeling really great, and of course, staying fit and healthy. And I think that's all the time we have for today. So thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Lynn Ryobe. You've been listening to Awakened Wellness Now on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And until next time, I wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and many, many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.